It's also been a tough week along with the fiscal cliff stuff for UN Ambassador Susan Rice, who is facing withering GOP criticism over her initial account of the deadly raid on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, nearly 3 months ago.
Now we're learning the FBI is looking to Facebook for help in finding out exactly what happened in Benghazi. Dimitri sat down with WTOP's national security correspondent J.J. Green to find out more about that.
What this suggests, and this comes from some folks that I've been talking to that worked in the investigative field for the federal government and the State Department, that they're at a dead end or close. Because, as you mentioned, a lot of time has passed. And also, there so far have been no obvious suspects outed. We've heard that this perhaps is something that was done by a terror group or someone affiliated with a terror group, but the folks that I've been talking to have told me that the dysfunctional Libyan government is a big problem. The fact that actually there is no real government to deal with there has made it very difficult to investigate this. So what they've done is turn to Facebook looking for tips, but there are folks out there that are suggesting that this is not a good sign in terms of what the investigation can turn up.
Have you seen what you would consider an authentic timeline for what happened in Benghazi that night?
I have seen several different timelines, and all of them that I have seen, there's a Defense Department one, a State Department one, all of them seem to say the same thing, that this thing started off as some kind of disturbance and then morphed into something much more serious. But the thing that's most important that I missed early on in this was there were actually two attacks. The early one at the general compound, and then there was another one at the annex. And the timelines they leave too much information out. There are too many gaps and too many holes in there. And I think that's a part of the reason why so many folks in Washington are frustrated about this.
You touched upon the intelligence community. We're going to take a general look at that now. As they're being told, members of this community, to get with the program, modernize their intel collection and dissemination techniques. Who is telling them this? And I thought they had done that after 9/11.
Well, yeah, there's an intelligence association. It's called INSA. And what they're saying is not that you're not doing a good job, you're not doing well, but what they're saying is folks in policymaking positions have higher expectations now of intelligence. And a part of the reason for that, Dimitri, is so much is available on the open source market now. People can turn on their computers and click on YouTube, and you know, there are cameras that are available that you can download to your iPad or your iPhone that can show you different parts of the world and things that are going on. There is so much information in the open source that's available to folks, policymakers now. They have a higher standard for what they expect from the intelligence community. The biggest thing that the intelligence community does, according to this organization, that nobody else can do is validate intelligence. They have ways and means of validating information that some policymaker may get on the open source, but they can't really verify it. But the intelligence community can do it, and no one else can.
And we're going to go into the weekend thinking a little about North Korea, up to its old trick again, threatening a missile launch. Why is this important right now?
There are two things that are going on that some folks think may be driving this. The South Korean presidential elections are coming up soon. And there also is the thinking that they're trying to rattle the Obama administration, mainly because North Korea is upset with the U.S. government over its recent agreement with South Korea that South Korea can have longer-range missiles that can reach into North Korea. So what they did some time ago was threaten the U.S., saying this is an act of war, and saying, don't forget, we have a missile that can reach your shores. And basically what they're talking about is Alaska. So there's a big question about whether this is a ploy or whether they're serious about this. And one of the people that I've spoken to is a veteran North Korean analyst, and he said, usually when they promise something, they do it.
That's WTOP's national security correspondent, J.J. Green.